All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to a couple of passages. We'll start in Matthew 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And these are familiar verses to you. I've used them many times on Wednesday nights and preached several sermons on Sundays from these verses. But I want to point something out to you tonight. And we'll start in verse 1 and read down to verse 4. All right, verse 1. Everybody there? All right, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." All right, now, in other words, when Christ was here and was conducting his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, Herod's temple was standing. It was there. All right. Now, many of you have been over to Israel with me, and you remember that there is no temple standing there now. All right. The Lord Jesus looked at that temple and made a prophecy in verse 2. And he said that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, in 70 AD, that prophecy was fulfilled. In 70 AD, there's a lot of opinion about this. Some people say that the Romans did it, that the Romans burned it down. Then there are several historians that are very trustworthy, and they said that it was the Arabs that burned it down, and that they filled it full of timber, and they were waiting on word from Rome, permission from the Caesar to set it ablaze. And when the answer did not come, when they wanted it to come, that the Arabs went ahead and lit the fire, shut the door, and walked away. And it sat there and simmered and burned until all the oxygen was eaten by the fire, and then it just exploded like it was hit with a bomb. And when it did, there was not one stone left upon another. You go over there today and walk along the western and southern walls of the city, and you will see the stones that are laying everywhere. And they're still there. And some of them are as big as that back panel back there. That's how big they are. They're huge. And so what they did was they came and they built the Temple Mount over top of all the debris. And part of the bone of contention over there right now is the fact that the Palestinians say that the Temple Mount belongs to them. And so you'll remember back in 2001, Ariel Sharon, who was the prime minister of Israel at the time, decided that he was going to walk up there and pray. And when he did, that started the Intifada, and the Intifada has basically not stopped ever since. But what the Palestinians say is that the Jews are underneath there digging, trying to find the Ark of the Covenant, and that it is ready to collapse. Well, I can assure you it's not ready to collapse. It's in good shape, and they are finding all kinds of things underneath there. But anyway, that prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD, just exactly as the Lord Jesus said it would. All right, now look at verse 3. It says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now let that sink into you. The disciples wanted to know, "Lord, when are you coming back, and when's the world as we know it going to end? What's your plan? What's the plan?" And I want you to notice in verse 4, the first thing that the Lord Jesus said are these words. In verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man," what's the next word?
Deceive.
"Deceive you." Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, isn't that interesting? That's the first thing in answer to the question that he says. Let no man deceive you. Hold your place here now and go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now, do you know what the gathering together unto him is? That's the rapture. That's when we go to be with him. Verse 2. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man," what's the next word?
"Deceive
you by any means." Let no man deceive you by any means. "For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So Paul, writing to the Thessalonian church, is talking about the coming of the Lord. And he also says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by any means. Look down, please, at verse 9. It says, "Even him who's coming," and he's talking here about the coming of the Antichrist, the beast of the book of the Revelation, the Antichrist. And in verse 9, he says, "Even him," that's the Antichrist, "whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and," what's the next word?
"Lying
wonders." Lying wonders. "And with all," there it is again, "deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why are they perish? Why are they lost? Why are they unsaved? Well, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." Now, with these two passages of Scripture in mind, one spoken from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself, and the other spoken by the Apostle Paul, I want you to see a connection. And the connection is that in the end times, there is going to be deception that is going to be used against the world, against mankind. Now, Paul says that the devil is going to deceive the Antichrist, and he is going to deceive through power, through signs, and through lying wonders, and with all deceivableness is going to trick and fool mankind. And then we find that when this starts during the tribulation period, church is gone. We're taken out before all this unfolds. And after we are out of here and the Antichrist rises, God is going to allow men to be deceived. He's going to help them be deceived. God shall send them strong delusion. Now, if you think things are bad now, and we are living in a deluded world, man, we are living in a world filled with deception and lies and deceit. All right, let me throw a couple out at you. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Let me give you another one. Islam is a peaceful religion. Deceptive. Deceptive. Let me give you another one. These terrorists are not true Muslims. Go over there, knock on ISIS's door, and tell them that. Yeah, they are. But we're living in a world of deception. It's everywhere you look. It's even in football. Oh, I didn't know anything about those footballs being deflated. I didn't know anything about that. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? It's everywhere you look, folks. Now, I want to amplify upon this deception thought that Paul said and Jesus said would characterize the last days. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into it. Father, we ask your blessings now on our Bible study, and I pray that you will open our spiritual eyes, help us to get a better idea of what's going on in the world. And Lord, help us to see and to know and to understand that this is exactly what we're seeing today is exactly what you said was coming. And I pray that it will strengthen our faith and help us to look forward to that day when we hear the trumpet sound. And Lord, just bless your word to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Last Sunday morning on Al NBC, I'm not really being too facetious when I say that, but on NBC last Sunday morning, one of our president's spokesmen, one of the White House staff, said this: "We are at war with Al Qaeda, But Al-Qaeda does not represent Islam. Which, and then he put a caveat in there and said, which is one of the world's great peaceful religions. Now, I just about came off the couch when I heard that. I don't even know how to respond to that, to be honest with you. I think from what I can read in my Bible, that even after the church is taken to heaven and the Antichrist rises to power and forms a global caliphate and forces submission to Islam all over the world, there will be those spiritually ignorant people who will still think that Islam is a peaceful religion. There was a report today, and it was on the Drudge Report. If you want to look it up, you can look it up yourself. And the ISIS terrorists had a guy, they said that they executed him. They don't show the execution on the video, but they said that they executed this man, that they decapitated him once they finished their rant. And the guy holding or doing the speaking and doing the executing said that they were coming to the White House. He said, "We're coming." And he threatened to execute and behead the President of the United States. Now, is that peaceful to you? Does that sound even remotely peaceful? Doesn't to me. This week, the new Grand Poobah in Saudi Arabia, you know, their king died last week. And they got his little brother, who is 79 years old and supposedly going senile. That's real good news. But since in the last 3 days, he has executed, hanged 4 people for violating Sharia law. 4 in 3 days. The Iranians, since January the 1st, have publicly hanged 72 people. In the last 28 days, the Iranians have hanged 72 people for violating Sharia law. Peaceful? In what world would any rational human being see what is going on in the Islamic nations as peaceful behavior? In Obama's world, evidently. But that is the line that the president and his staff and Congress and the media is hanging on to, and they are staying right on that line. They're not deviating at all. And as time marches on, and as I listen to what they are saying and what the White House is saying, I see more and more that the deceit and the lies and the distortion of the truth and the outright deception are a vital tool for the Islamists to accomplish their goal. Most Westerners, and that's what we are, most Westerners have a hard time relating to the fact that purposeful exaggerations, covering and masking the truth, and outright deliberate lying are built in to the very fabric of Islam. And we just can't wrap our heads around that. We just cannot deal with that. and accept that. But it's true. Our Bible, and here's the reason we can't understand it, because we know what the Bible says. And our Bible tells us clearly over and over that lying, that bearing false witness, and that purposely deceiving people is a sin against God. But lying and deception and bearing false witness and half-truths and even no-truths lie at the very heart and center of Islam. And that should not surprise any of us, because the Lord Jesus said in John 8:44 that the devil was a liar and a murderer, and that he has been so from the beginning. And he always will be. And so the more I study this peaceful religion, the more I am convinced that it is the devil's counter proposal to the world for the gospel that of Christ that is given to us by God Almighty in the Bible. And folks, you can see this all the way through the scriptures. Jesus is truth, the Word is truth, and the devil is a liar. And it runs all the way through the Bible. Now, here's the strange thing. Here's the really strange thing. We are so being lied to in our country by our country. And it's not, I don't think, by accident. Why won't the Obama administration use the term radical Islam? Why won't they use it? I told you a couple weeks ago, I think the reason that he won't use the term is because he knows that Islam is radical. He is one. He was raised in it. The radicals are simply following the teachings of Islam. And when you hear these clean-cut moderates get on Fox News and say that this is what we're seeing out of these people is not pure Islam, it's not true Islam. No, what they're advocating is not pure Islam. What they're doing in Iran and in Yemen and in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Syria, that is pure Islam. They're following the Quran. And the Quran says, kill the infidel, cut off his head. It's pretty clear. Kill the Jews. Spread terror into those who are not believers. Folks, here's the real problem. The real problem is the ideology. And the ideology is to spread Islam around the world. Now, in the gospel, how do we do that? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye love one another. That's how we do it in Christianity. But how does Islam do it? Through hatred, through murder, through terror. It's the exact opposite. And the ideology is to infiltrate and over time get folks to believe that Islam is a peaceful religion. And that's why hundreds of thousands of Muslims have been going to Europe and coming to America and going to South America and going to Australia. That's why they've been coming to all these nations in droves. They bring money and they buy businesses and they buy property. They buy gas stations and motels and restaurants, and they build mosques. And under this administration and the last one, they have infiltrated our country by the multiplied hundreds of thousands. Why? Let me give you something else. You can check this out. You can check this out. If I found it, you can find it. Under the last 6 years, they have infiltrated our government. Example, the current head of the CIA. Do you know his name? John Brennan. He's a Muslim. And proud of it. Now, did you hear what I said? The man runs the CIA. Does that not give anybody a little bit of concern? He runs the CIA. He was converted to Islam when he was stationed in Saudi Arabia several years ago. Hillary Clinton's top advisor. I mean, when Hillary stops, this woman runs into her. Seriously. Her name is Huma Abedin. She is married to Anthony Weiner. You remember him? New York congressman, ran for mayor. Total buffoon. Progressive, liberal to the core. She is on the board, if not the president, of CARE, the Center for Islam Relations, CARE. And her mother and her brother are high-ranking members of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. If Hillary goes into the White House in 2016, Huma will be right there by her side as chief of staff. That will be awesome, won't it? All right, but hang on. You ready? Valerie Jarrett. Anybody know that name? She is Obama's top advisor. And she's a Muslim. She's a Muslim. She was born in Iran and her parents still live there. Don't tell me that it was by accident that she ended up in Chicago. And ended up in the White House. Don't tell me that was an accident. It gets gooder. The Assistant Secretary for Policy Development in the Department of Homeland Security, Arif Aikhan, A-I-K-H-A-N, is a Muslim. Homeland Security Advisor Mohammed Ibieri is a Muslim. Obama advisor and founder of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, Salam al-Mariati, is a Muslim. Did you know that President Obama has a Sharia czar? That's special, isn't it? His name is Imam Mohammed Magid of the Islamic Society of North America. And of course, he's a Muslim. His advisory council on faith-based neighborhood partnerships. By the way, you're paying all these salaries. His name is Eboo Patel, and he's a Muslim. And we even have now a Muslim in Congress whose name is Keith Ellison. And he took the oath of office with his hand on a Quran, which calls for the beheading of the people for which he represents. Amazing. CIA Director John Brennan, that I mentioned a moment ago, he took his oath on a copy of the Constitution, not on the Bible, like every other CIA director in the past has done. Now, question. Could this explain why this administration is systematically destroying the foundation of our country? Could this explain why he would go on YouTube, on a YouTube show, three of them, but one specifically with this, I don't know how else to describe this woman other than just to say, she's nuts. Yeah, I said it. She's nuts. And she went on this, he went on this show, this YouTube show, which evidently she's got a lot of followers, so that he could get his message out to the young people. And this woman is famous. Are you ready for this? She is famous for crawling into a bathtub full of milk and pouring a box of cereal on top of her and then eating the cereal while she's in the bathtub. Now, he won't meet with Benjamin Netanyahu next month when he comes to address Congress. But he'll sit down with this woman. It doesn't make sense, does it? Could this explain why this administration supports every radical Muslim cause and has watched in the last 6 years Libya fall to the terrorist, and Syria and Yemen and Iraq and Pakistan fall back into the hands of Al-Qaeda and of the Taliban? Folks, I've said it before, and I say it because I believe it. I believe he is one. And under his tenure, our government has been infiltrated by Islamists, and the Muslims have made no bones about it. They want to destroy this country. Now let's get back to what the Bible here, what the Lord said about deception. One of the famous quotes of Muhammad is the foundation upon which the whole of Islam works. And what he said over and over and over and what he taught was this: war is deception. War is deception. Using lies, using propaganda, using deceit, using misleading phrases, there is an all-out effort across this country that is designed to win sympathy for all the poor, mistreated Muslims in the world. It's called Islamophobia. Phobia means the fear, to fear. And Islamophobia is what they're crying. Their favorite phrase is to instruct the world on the subject of Islamophobia. And they host these huge events inviting thousands of people to come, state legislators and officials of government, and they roll out the red carpet. I mean, you know, none of these people want to say, well, I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that. Those people are killing people in other parts of the world. I'm not going to go support that. Oh, no. No, we got to go to show that we're not Islamophobes. And so they go, and what do they hear? Lies. They are told how peaceful the religion is, blah, 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 blah. And the whole idea is to promote peace and harmony as they live among us in America, but it's all a ruse. All a ruse. All they try to do is get the gullible, politically correct, blind leaders of the blind to accept Islam as a peaceful religion. All the while, heads are rolling and governments are toppling and high school kids are being shot for watching a soccer game on TV. Does that sound peaceful to you? Not to me. So something's wrong, folks. That's my point. And when I see everything so out of kilter, I mean, can you imagine Ronald Reagan acting like Obama? Could you imagine Harry Truman, who was a Democrat, by the way? I can't imagine Harry Truman kowtowing to the Iranians. And the whole time their leaders are crying that America is just a bunch of Islamophobes and all our leaders are tripping over themselves to prove that America is not Islamophobic. And yet the southern border is wide open and they're coming across. I told you what one farmer down there found at his fence. He found a torn piece on the fence of a backpack. And then just a little ways away from that, he found a Urdu to English, English to Urdu dictionary. Urdu is the language in Pakistan. How'd that get there? Did an airplane drop it? No, they're crossing our southern border while it's wide open. Student visas are wide open. And the White House and even the Republicans in Congress and the Democrats in Congress are doing their best to legalize millions that have crossed that border. We're in trouble. Our country's in trouble. And nobody seems to care. It's the beatenest thing I've ever seen. You say, well, Pastor, how do you explain that? My Bible says that the devil is a deceiver. And I'm telling you, folks, we've been deceived. We are a country that has been deceived. You say, how'd that happen? I don't know how it happened. It has to be bigger than Al CNN and Al NBC and Al CBS. It has to be bigger than the media. The deception has to be bigger than the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. It has to be a spiritual deception. And if it's a spiritual deception, and I think it is, it is a clear indication that we're getting close to the day of the Lord. Oh, I'm excited about it. Let me give you another area where Islam is just deceiving the world. They're just lying. And it's out there. Anybody can see it if they just look. Now, they don't want you to see this. And they'll get on TV and just lie through a smiling face with shiny white teeth. Just lie all about it. But they lie about Sharia and women's rights. This is one of the biggest lies they tell And they tell it without an ounce of shame. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to watch. Under Sharia law, women's rights are non-existent. They're all excited in Saudi Arabia because the old hardliner died last Friday. And now they got a new, younger. The old one was 90, and this one's 79. And they're all excited now in Saudi Arabia because he told somebody that he will consider letting women drive. And oh, they're just agog. They don't know what to do. They're so excited. They might finally get to drive a car. You see, under Sharia, women don't have any rights. And they're not allowed to drive a car. It's almost unheard of for it's unheard of that a Muslim woman would marry a Christian or a Jew. If she lives in under Sharia law, that can't be done. Why? Well, Islamic law, Sharia, proclaims death to a woman who marries outside of the Muslim faith. Now, you ready for this? Here's the amazing thing. It is perfectly fine for a man to marry a woman who is not a Muslim. As a matter of fact, in the last 30 to 40 years, many Islamic imams, the preachers, have encouraged the Muslim young men to leave their country, their homeland, and to go to America, and to go to Britain, and to go to Australia, and marry non-Muslims, native Great Britain women, native people that have been born in that land. They encourage it. They do all they can. And folks, listen, let me ask you a question. Could you just up and take off and move to, let's say, China? Could you just do that? Financially, I mean. Could you just do that? I couldn't. Could you just say, well, I'm going to go live in Great Britain? You couldn't do that. So pray tell me, how do they afford to get over here? You know? How do they afford to get over here? How do they afford a business once they get here? How do they afford a house and a car once they get here? You see, somebody's sponsoring all this. It's not just happening per chance. Just last week in a village in Pakistan, a woman was accused of adultery, and three other men came along and agreed with the one that accused her, and they stoned her to death right there on the spot. Stoned her to death. This is from the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34. Listen to this. This is what Muhammad said. Now, we're talking about a peaceful religion here now. Men have authority over women because God has made the one superior to the other. And because they spend their wealth to maintain them. Good women are obedient. They guard their unseen parts because God has guarded them. What? That's what it said. As for those from whom you fear disobedience, admonish them, forsake them in beds apart, comma, and beat them. You know what that means? That means if you as a woman, as a wife, are disobedient to your husband, he can beat you and line you out. Then if they obey you, take no further action against them. In other words, if they don't obey you, then repeat the process. And then it closes, surely God is high, supreme. Now let me ask you, ladies, what do you think of that? Under Sharia, your husband can beat you if you don't obey him. Now, you know, the last time I thought anything about it, it takes two to commit adultery. Oh, but there's no, you say, well, what about the man who's involved? Sharia doesn't say anything about him. Well, does Sharia say that he gets 100 lashes with a cane? Nope. Does he have to spend time in jail? Nope. Does he get beheaded or stoned to death? Nope. Only the woman is punished, and that punishment is given at the hands of men. Now, does that sound like a fair, equitable, peaceful, let's all get together, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya religion to you? Doesn't to me either. Now, let's contrast that with what the Bible says. Look at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Doesn't say husbands beat your wives. It says love your wives. Love your wife. You as a husband are to love your wife. And you are to treat her the way you treat your own body. You would not abuse your own body. That is the argument that Paul is making here. The Bible says that you are to treat her as you would treat your own body. Would you dishonor your own body? No way. No way. You would never do that. Would you take a cane and beat your own back until the blood poured out of it? No way. You wouldn't do that. Of course not. Now compare what the Bible says to what Muhammad said about women. In another place, here's what he said. You're not going to believe this one. He said, I was shown the hell fire. I was shown the hell fire. And the majority of its dwellers, in other words, the majority of the people in hell, when Allah showed him hell, the literal burning hell, he says, when Allah showed it to me, the majority of its dwellers are women. You know, folks, it's no wonder the Lord Jesus warned that we should not be deceived. 1.6 billion people believe this Muhammad stuff. 1.6 billion. It's no wonder the Lord Jesus warned that we should not be deceived. Don't fall for it. When you hear a congressman or you hear a progressive or you hear a Republican talk about how it's a peaceful religion, you know better. Let your eyes tell you the truth. The very tool which the devil will use to drive the antagonist in the last days is an ideology that has been built and is still functioning on lies and deceit. And I tell you all this so you will be able to make judgments based on facts and realize that God and His Word are truth, and realize that the devil has always been a liar, always will be a liar. And so when you see the lies, you can spot them. Folks, I've told you 1,000 times in 19 and a half years, if you want to find out if a stick is crooked, you lay a straight stick down beside of it. And right here is your straight stick. Right here. And let the Bible be your guide. Lying is the devil's nature. It's just what he does. And so it's only fitting that the religion that he inspired would be one filled with lies and deceit.